Hello and welcome to Wrestling and Everything Coast to Coast with your host, Buddy Sotelo Esquire, and Dr. Mike Leno, wrestling's premier photographer, and he's got something in his hands.
It's a wrestling cookbook, not from Renee Paquette, but someone else. She has a very good cookbook out.
And we want to welcome our very, very special guest. It's been a year since you've been on the show, and that is Kelly Slaughter's daughter, Sergeant Slaughter's daughter. Welcome to the show tonight. Thank you for being here with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you guys.
Now, Kelly, what is on your shirt? That's your dad, right? I haven't seen that bit of merch there.
Yes, this was his first one.
Cobra Clutch.
Yes.
I actually had an AWA Cobra Core t-shirt. That I was one of my pride and joys when I went to college. It had the inscription, or it had the cobra on it, and the inscription said "Salta in Asinume et Kappa Nomine." Mm-hmm. And you know what that means? It means in Latin, "Kick ass and take names."
Nice.
And I wore that for many years until it got stolen in the college laundry. But yeah, some of my best shirts. Some of my best concert shirts and wrestling shirts went the way of the college dryer, I think. So
Kelly, before I forget, because I'm one of the historians on the Bus That Opened the Big Show and Sirius XM, but they had your dad on. He comes on at least a couple times a year, but he does, in fact, I just want to mention this briefly. He is in the history books for many things, but for having some of the earliest, not the earliest, but amongst the earliest entrance music. When he debuted, you know, and he was doing that with Vince Jr. before, you know, this was when Vince Sr. was still alive when the gimmick debuted, and it was, you know, very well received, both as heel and face. But there were two guys prior to Gorgeous George, then Gorgeous George with Pomp and Circumstance from about 1947 on. Buddy Rogers had Nat King Cole's Nature Boy. And then we almost have to go all the way up to Bad Bad Leroy Brown in Dallas for Fritz Von Erich, and then at Los Angeles territory. And then your father, even before the Freaks. That's the lineage. So your dad was like fifth or maybe sixth on that list, even before the Freebirds used Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, the Freebird song. And then pretty much everybody had entrance music thereafter. But nobody in Vince Sr.'s territory, the Tri-WF, had music until your father did. So that was very cool. And, you know, once again, he's in the history books. And, you know, it was just pretty good company to be in Gorgeous George and Buddy Rogers. That's Absolutely. About as good as it gets.
Yes, for sure.
So what have you been up to in the last year since we had you on the show?
I'm still training. I actually have a Spartan race on Saturday that I'm doing. Oh. I've been gearing up for that. And I did, this race will conclude or will finish up my second trifecta for the year. So
wow.
I've already done five races.
Oh my
I did
gosh.
Three in one weekend.
Oh my God.
How are you doing it in this heat, though? Because the country's hit with heat. Do you train a little bit differently, ice down and stuff?
Well, I have a water pack that I take with me, and I have like things that I put in it with electrolytes and things like that. So I'm replenishing myself, and I'm replenishing my electrolytes, but also so I don't cramp.
right.
You know, no fun.
Are you in North Carolina? I forget where you guys are now.
I'm in the Carolinas. I'm right on the border of North and South Carolina.
And I know I don't think I asked you this before, but on my bucket list is going to Wilmington, North Carolina. It's the only place on Earth where Venus flytraps grow in the wild.
Oh, really? I've been to Wilmington before. Yeah.
In those bogs there, the acidic soil, and there's other types of goofy plants there, the sundews, the sticky stuff, the pitcher plants. So, but they're there, and you can find a bog with like all these different bug-eating plants, which is pretty cool. So,
my experience of the Carolinas is that it's the only place that I know of where the bugs have first and last names.
Right.
They're so big. and so many of them that you start to refer to them.
Bad this year. We did not get any snow at all. Like, it never got cold enough, so it didn't kill anything. So we've got bugs bad this summer.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So can you tell our fans who didn't tune in last year, and shame on them for not paying attention to you last year, but can you review to us how the Spartan race works and what it's all about?
Sure. Well, Spartan is just a brand of obstacle course race. And so in the Spartan brand, they have different length races. And if you do one of each length within a calendar year, it's considered a trifecta. And you get like the special badges that come with your medals you get when you cross the finish line. That complete the trifecta, and it's obstacle course races. So you're climbing over things, through things, you're going through the mud, you're climbing under barbed wire, a lot of times in the mud.
I've seen it on ESPN.
Yeah.
Or
it's like boot camp. It's legit, like, you know, real.
Almost, yeah. It's very much military inspired. For sure. And there's a lot of, in fact, when the trifecta weekend that I did was in Fayetteville, right next to Fort Bragg. So there's usually a big military presence at Spartan because it is so military inspired. But I mean, there was a lot in Fayetteville. So.
Do a lot of the military folks come up to you as Sergeant Slaughter's daughter and say, hey, you know, we're big fans of his, or, you know, my dad was a big fan of your dad, or anything like that? No. And
if somebody finds out who my dad is, they may say that, I don't know, but people don't recognize me.
Do you find it a little ironic that you've probably done more military training than your dad has?
Well, he put in his dues. He paid his dues certainly in the biz.
Listening to him and what he had to do when he trained to be a wrestler was no easy feat. At all.
What sort of stories did he tell you?
Well, like having to do like 1,000 squats, and you know, I think his first day of training or his first week of training, somebody tried to break his leg.
That was Carl Gotch. Billy Robinson. I'm sorry. Billy Robinson, yeah, Billy was Robinson. The co-trainer at Vern Gagne's, that barn at camp. And in the Khosrow Azeri Iron Sheik documentary on A&E a couple of months ago, which was excellent. Your dad played a major part of that because they were so close. They were in the same camp together, but Billy Robinson was sadly at times abusive to both Kaz and your father and some of the other folks there. And but I think your dad kind of didn't want to put up with that crap and gave it back, because he's such a big guy, and gave it back to Billy, who kind of backed off. And that's hard to do with a hooker shooter, you know, that caliber. There was only a few of them: Fez, Vern Gagne, Carl Gotch, who I mentioned, obviously Billy, Danny Hodge, who your dad was friends with at a lot of the amateur events, Stu Hart, Larry Simon, the great Malenko. It's kind of about it. Oh, Dr. Big Bill Miller, who your father also met on some of those, the Kansas City auditorium cards.
Yeah, so when you do the Spartan race, what obstacle do you think is the toughest one to deal with?
Well, the one that I cannot do is, and mostly because I can't train to do it because I don't have anywhere to do it right now, but is the rope climb. The rope climb, a lot of people think it's just upper body, and it's not. There's like a technique to wrapping the rope around your feet and like using your legs and your arms at the same time to pull you up. And my gym doesn't have one, and I don't have one.
can't build one in the backyard or anything like that.
No, but I mean, they're all hard.
They all look very hard.
The first thing you have to do to even get into the corral is you have to go through, they call it Armageddon, and it's a barbed wire crawl. And there's usually things in the way, so you have to go certain ways. Sometimes there's somebody squirting water on you. Sometimes it's muddy, sometimes it's not, and that's just to get to the start line. And then you have to climb over a 4-foot wall.
Are you sure it's not hazing? It sounds a little like a combo of hazing and triathlete events.
No, it's a obstacle course and Spartan. So they have different length races. So they have a sprint, which is a 5K. They have a super, which is a 10K, which is what I'm doing on Saturday. And then they have a beast, which is a 21K. And then there's an ultra, which is, I believe it's a 60K. I will never do that. I have no desire to do that one at all. But those are the main three that you see a lot of.
I get tired driving.
25 obstacles, 30 obstacles. But it's Spartan. We call them Spartan miles because it's really not a 5K, like you're usually doing a lot more, because they don't, any of the things that you have to carry that are heavy, they don't include that in the length of the race.
What things you have to carry?
Well, there's a bucket you have to carry, and they do have different weighted buckets. They have a red one and a black one, and the black one is like the men's and the red one is the women's, and I'm always doing the men's, and then I'm like, will you please say black and red?
You're good for you. Yeah, now it's so we have to be pronoun sensitive, so it's good that you're fighting for the D whatever of, you know, having the male and female names taken off these things.
I mean, why say this is the women's weight and this is the men's weight? Because I'm sure there's men that would love to do the women's weight.
Right.
Extremely, like, exhausted and can barely, you know, carry. I mean, it's still hard.
Now, when you compete in the Spartan race, are you competing with men and women at the same time? Or is it women against women and men against men?
So they have like age group heats, they have elite heats, and then they have open heats, and I do the open heat. So you're really not competing with anyone. Like if you win an open heat, no one cares. The rules are a little bit more relaxed on the open heats, and I do it for fun. So I like to have a good time. Oh, I'm killing myself.
Wait, can't you make money at this? Monetize it? Like if they have you on TV for events, you should get paid.
I think you can get like sponsorships and things like that for sure. And then the elite races, if you win, you do. There's a monetary payout, but I am not at that level. I'm just
doing hopefully soon.
I mean, I'm surprised that someone hasn't been clever enough to find a way to make you a marketable person because of your link with your dad, and you know you're a very personable person, so you're not, you know, a shrinking violet or anything.
Right. You know? No, I'm not a shrinking violet at all.
So, have you ever been injured during the Spartan race?
So this time last year, actually, I did a super in a different location, and I cramped really bad going over some hurdles, but they're like up to here, and it's a block of wood that's on a bias, so it's like the point is up. You have to get up and over that, and there's nothing underneath it, so you can't like get your foot on something, so you jump and kind of push yourself up and go get over. But yeah, so I went to jump, and it was the worst cramp I've ever had in my life, and I'm just like looking at my leg like, I don't know what to do, because I know I'm supposed to do like the opposite action, right? That's how you stop a cramp when you're cramping. And I couldn't get my foot to do that. You know what I mean? I like literally couldn't get it to do that. And then it affected me pretty much the whole rest of the race. I couldn't run anymore. Every time I would go to ride, it would start to cramp. I'm like, ugh. So then it just slowed us down.
Wow. Now, how did you first hear about the Spartan races, and what made you decide to do it?
I was at the gym, and some of my gym friends decided that they were going to do the Spartan race, and they kept asking me if I was going to do it, and I was like, no, there's no way I could do that. They're like, no, you should. And so finally they kept asking me, and so finally I was like, if I do it, will you leave me alone? I signed up for it, and I went in completely blind. I had no idea anything about Spartan. I knew it was an obstacle course race. I knew what the rules were. And so I would just run up to an obstacle and look at it and be like, okay, well, I gotta go over it. I gotta get through it, you know? or I got to go do some burpees or the penalty, whatever the penalty is. So I fell.
Are those self-imposed? Are those self-imposed penalties or?
In the open, it's pretty much self-imposed. But if you're doing age group or elite, you have to do the penalty. If you don't complete the obstacle. And there are some obstacles that are mandatory obstacles. Like you have to do those in order to be able to move forward.
And what do you work with a team right now, or do you?
I have a team. You don't have to have a team, and we help each other through some of the obstacles that we may not be able to do ourselves. You know, it's like a leg up or a help pull you up kind of thing. But you don't in the age group and elite, you can't get help from each other. Just in the open, which is why I do the open. It's a different vibe. I feel like I've never run an age group, but I feel like it's a different vibe because you can't help each other. In the open heats were much more, you know, if you see another Spartan on the ground cramping, it's like, hey, do you need anything? I've got a mustard, or I have muscle cream, or I've got pickle juice. Like, what do you need? I might have something for you.
But pickle juice helps with cramping? I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, I've heard that, but not mustard. Did you say, Kelly, mustard?
Mustard.
What would that would be applied
to? You eat it, or do you spread it on a cramp?
No, you eat it.
Wow. I haven't heard that one. So, like, but fermented stuff with the pickle juice, maybe I guess you could even eat kimchi or something.
It's the salt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, because it's you have too little salt, and that's what's causing the cramp or whatever? Or the.
Most of the time, it's not always that, but yeah.
Are you doing this with do you have friends?
You've lost too much.
Kelly, I'm sorry. Are you doing this with friends, too, supportive friends, so you have, like, people you can maybe talk to during heats, et cetera?
Yes, there's three of us that make up that's like our core group. It's me and my friend Cambry and our friend Chris. The three of us, but anybody that wants to join us on these races is more than welcome to. Our team name is Slaughter's Marauders.
Is this what? Say that again.
Our team name is Slaughter's Marauders.
Slaughter's Marauders. That's funny. That's great, too. I'm going to write this.
Nobody makes the connection between you and your dad, though, even though you go with that name. They just.
No, and we have, like, custom-made shirts, and our shirt has my dad's signature. It says Slaughter in his writing, and then it says Marauders. That's his signature. I should get it and show it to you guys.
Well, it's we're here for any. We're not really big into special effects, but we'd love to. If you hold it up, we'd love.
I got to leave in 20 minutes. I'd like to see it, Kel, if you've got it. If it's okay. Not too.
Yeah, let me see. I'll go find it.
We will banter in between.
That's amazing. She's doing this with the world heat record. This is the hottest year, hottest summer on record. I don't know, Russ.
I'm tired driving 10K. I get tired if I drive 10K with my car, let alone, you know, running and carrying buckets and getting people squirting hoses at me and crawling through barbed wire, which, by the way, since I pulled my muscle this weekend just moving stuff around, I don't think I'm doing any Spartan races anytime soon. I'm way too out of shape for that. You know,
it'll get you into shape in a hurry. So that's commendable. And it sounds like Kelly's doing this. Is she doing it every weekend? How often is she doing it?
Yeah. Well, I know she's training all the time, and she said she had multiple events in a weekend. So I don't know how you. To me, I would think that one Spartan race in my lifetime, and I'd probably need another 6 or 7 months to recover.
Wow. So, all right, she's back.
Sure.
I'm back. So this is the one we wear most often.
Well, that's a cool shirt.
That is pretty cool. Are you selling those at the wrestling, pro wrestling tees? And if not, you should be.
I should.
Yes.
Yeah,
you should be making money because I think you keep all of it for yourself. And what's this one? Oh, this is in a different color.
That's cool, too. That's cool, too. Products. That's nice. And it's nice for your dad to lend his signature to it.
Yes. He was honored that we called ourselves Slaughter's Marauders. And I wanted to show you, this is one of the medals.
Oh, wow.
And so you get this, they say it's earned, not given, because you have to go through the course and you jump fire at the end. And then
wow,
you get this, but then each thing has a piece to it. And when you collect the three, it fits together and that's your trifecta medal. And then once you get I got this for doing a trifecta weekend.
Wow.
So I got that in Fayetteville. So I got three of each color that weekend. And then I got this because I did
the amazing. That is really amazing.
So what is your dad? I don't know if you said a year ago, what does your dad think of all this? He's got to be very proud of you.
He is. He's like, I don't know how you do that stuff. It's absolutely amazing that you can do that. That's, you got to have, you know, I always say that wrestlers are a different kind of athlete. And I feel like Spartan and not just Spartan, but obstacle course racing is a different kind of athlete also. Because not only do you have to have strength, you have to have endurance.
Wow. Yeah. No, I think what you've posted on your Facebook page is inspired a lot of people. A lot of people, they get back to you and they tell you, you know, you seeing you work out makes me want to work out or get back in shape or to do something physically daring the way that you have. Have you gotten a lot of that input?
Yeah, I get a lot of that every day about how I'm inspiring people and how I'm inspiring and it makes me feel good. It does put a little bit of pressure on me too, because I'm like, well, what if like I don't want to feel like working out anymore? I don't want to let anybody down. You know, I train to do Spartans because it gives me something to train for. You know what I mean? Aside just being trying to be fit and healthy.
But do you have a goal? Do you have like, say you want to get three trifecta medals or you want to finish a particular race or something like that and then you'll retire? Or do you have like some specific goal that you want to get to and then you can say you're done after that? Or what's your...
Well, I got my kids into it. So they like to do the kids races. And my husband even did one with me. He said it was his debut and retirement all in one day.
Oh, so he's not been part of your Marauders.
He was for one race.
Well, that tells you something. That's pretty great for you. Have you tried, speaking of your dad and on all your training, have you tried doing those Hindu squats? They're not easy.
The Hindu squats where you go all the way to, I don't think I know what that is.
Yeah, kind of, because I think, I forgot if your dad...
I'll look it up really quick.
Yeah, if your dad demonstrated it when they came to his house, I think he had at least one or several sets of Khosrow's Iranian clubs for that was a different exercise. But I don't know if you were, hopefully you were there for that taping when they came and picked those up.
I was not. Oh, no, I could not do that. My knees would not allow that.
Speaking of the Iron Sheik, you know, you're a hero is often defined by how great his enemies are. And your father was an absolutely huge sensation, but I don't know if he could have been as big a sensation without having an enemy like the Iron Sheik across the ring from him. What were your experiences with the Iron Sheik and what did your dad have to say about his death recently?
So Iron Sheik, it's funny because I never had an issue with Iron Sheik until one day I saw him wrestling my dad and he had a weapon and, he kept hiding it from the ref. He would put it in his boot and then the ref would check his belt and then he would put it from his boot into his belt and then the ref would check his boot. And so it was like a knife. And so my sister and I are watching this thinking he's about to kill my dad. The ref never finds it. And then they wrestle and there's blood and like all this stuff. And we think we're watching our dad be murdered. And after he won the match. And after that, the next day, there was like a brunch with all with everybody there that was part of the event. And he was there and he like came up, oh, Kelly, you know, trying to talk to me. And I was like, ah, and ran as fast as I could. Because here's this guy that just tried to kill my dad. And why is he being nice to me now? So when I heard that he had passed, I was actually at my dad's house with him. And I cried and, you know, my dad was very sad. And so...
They came up together, and it's you really should watch it if you've not seen Kaz as Iron Sheik, or I think Sheik, he went through a series of names before they settled on Iron Sheik, but he, your dad had just wrestled for TV taping, or Vince Sr., and I think Allentown, Pennsylvania, you know, got booed, he was still a heel, and then he's walking back up the ramp, and this was all Vince Jr. did this behind Vince Sr.'s back, and Kaz, Iron Sheik and Blassie, his manager, are coming down and they have a face-off, you know, the stand-up. Have you seen that footage? That's what turned your father into
I remember when that aired.
And tremendous babyface. And they jawed off. And then I think the following week, your dad, you know, did the famous promo, I'm declaring war on you, Iron Sheik. But they're both heels, but who you have to go if you were a mark, a fan, with your father, you know, is this military hero, and it was a tremendous thing. And because Vince McMahon Sr. was afraid, he never wanted to turn your dad into babyface, but Vince Jr. kind of knew it was going to work, and your dad was all for it. And you know, he was afraid he was going to upset Vince Sr., but Vince Sr. loved the reaction your dad got, and it was, you know, pretty amazing. Whatever year that was it 83?
Yeah, I have to think, like, it wasn't even like it no longer, once that happened, it no longer was Sergeant Slaughter versus Iron Sheik. It was like the United States versus Iran, you know, it like made it a completely different thing because it wasn't just wrestler versus wrestler anymore with everything that was going on. And it was good. That was
sweet. Yeah, it was big time because your dad had all those wars challenging Bob Backlund for the title and, just really, really great stuff. He had a huge career. I mean, but you can't forget what he was doing at Mid-Atlantic. That was pretty awesome stuff there. With Don Kernodle and all of that stuff with Steamboat and Youngblood. It was, you know, so he had many, many careers in many places, not just the Tri-WF or WWF.
And Wrestling Under the Mask is the Super Destroyer, too. So he had, you know, he even had...
Oh, yeah, those shots I said... Kelly, I know I sent you some of the shots of him with the mask, with Lord Al Hayes managing him both as a heel and face. But that lunch when Kaz was inducted, you know, all the guys in WrestleMania 1 in 2005 from L.A., I had brunch with them. It was outdoors at the hotel in Universal Studios there. I sent you that picture. I thought I sent you and Pam Morrison and pretty much everybody, them just being normal at this outdoor brunch and smiling. And I thought it was a pretty cool shot.
Yeah, it was a good shot.
Because all the history.
I appreciate it when you send me those.
Do you think that that your father would have been able to be a good wrestler in today's era where you really don't have kayfabe or character wrestling like you did when he was at his height? Do you think he still would have wanted to be a wrestler? Do you think he would have enjoyed being a wrestler with just being Bob Remus, for instance, and having no character around him? Or do you think that being Sergeant Slaughter really became who he was? And I mean, everybody, of all the characters he had and all the things he did, he's totally recognized as Sergeant Slaughter. So what do you think? Do you think
he still has to live the gimmick to this day?
Yeah.
That's their expression, living the gimmick. He does, you know, if he goes out, I'm sure he gets mobbed. It must be very difficult for him to just go out and have like a normal thing or to go watch you. You know, he might get mobbed and he probably wouldn't want the attention taken off of you.
Right. He pretty much is always in character when he leaves his house because he has to be because everyone recognizes him and everyone's like, hey, Sarge, can I get your autograph? Can I get a picture? you know.
So. And does he get tired of that? Is that something that he...
Oh, God, yeah, I'm sure he does.
Back to being Bob.
He sometimes, I think it depends on the situation, like what he's doing when it's happening, if that makes sense. Like if he's eating dinner with us, it's like, can I have, you know, an hour to myself with my family to have some food, you know? But we do take out a lot more than eat out anyway for that reason. But I think it depends on the situation. I don't really think he gets tired of it, though, because he loves his fans. And he's always been generous with his fans and generous with his time. So he, I don't think he gets tired of it.
I've met a lot of wrestlers in person. Your dad was one of the nicest people that I've ever met and took the time to talk to me at a Cauliflower Alley thing where he could have easily said, I've had enough of you, kid. Go bug somebody else. There's other wrestlers here. He talked to me for maybe half an hour about stuff. Yeah. And I was just, he was so down to earth. I talked to him a lot about his time working with the Grand Wizard, which is something I don't think a lot of people bring up in his career. So I think he was interested that somebody thought of him in, you know, something different than all of that. And I think that so he doesn't feel like people are just always stalking him. I hope he feels that the fans have such an appreciation for who he is and what he meant to us as wrestling fans in that era where it still was so cool to believe those sort of things. You know, he was maybe the most believable of all those characters in that era. You know, the one guy that even when other wrestlers were getting rid of their characters, Sergeant Slaughter still had...
Well, nobody had done that before, really, to my knowledge. I don't think anybody had done that. There were guys that portrayed French Legion guys, but that's not the same. Or, you know, there's other cultures. But for the U.S., I think that was really one of the first. And then he was able to lend that cred to others, you know, that he was working with. But for a second there, Ernie Roth, has your dad talked about Ernie Roth, the Grand Wizard? Because this guy was one of the longest managers ever since the 50s, you know, on until his death about 83. So he didn't get to experience or be part of WrestleMania or any of that stuff. But I think your dad was a little, said he was, before he went there and knew he was going to be put with a manager, sort of like some of the others, like Superstar Graham. You know, we lost within, 5 weeks to former champs in Iron Sheik and Billy Graham, both managed by early on by Ernie Roth as the Grand Wizard, and then your father. But has he said anything? Do you recall him saying anything? I'll have to ask him next time I talk to him. But that was a great pairing because both of them could talk. You know, I think your dad thought, oh, gee, why do I need a guy speaking for me when I can cut promos? But it was a one of those marriages made in heaven kind of thing.
It worked.
Did you get to meet the Grand Wizard yourself?
If I met him, I was too young to know who he was. You know, there was not a lot of wrestlers that like came to our house or anything like that. Like there was a handful: Iron Sheik, Roddy Piper, Don Kronodal, Alfred Hayes.
Yeah, and they're all gone, unfortunately. That's a sad thing, too. Also, I wanted to ask you, what was it like for you when your dad made the turn to being a bad guy in 1990 and then won the championship, what, 91, I think, when he turned on the Ultimate Warrior and became WWF champion in the early 90s?
Well, as a family, I'm sure Kelly and the rest of the family probably worried. Fans take it to the extreme, particularly when stuff, you know, you're playing off real life events with Iran and Iraq and all of that stuff.
Well, when my dad became an Iraqi sympathizer, there were death threats. Yeah. People calling the WWE offices at the time, they were going to not only kill my dad and Vince, but their families, and they were going to bomb the offices in Stanford. And lots of death threats. They even, I found out recently, I did not know this, they kept this from me all of these years, but I found out recently that the people knew our names, knew my sister's name, knew my name, knew where we went to school, knew our address, you know, and that's why I think the WWE would have taken it seriously anyway, but that's why they took it so seriously, because these people knew where we lived, knew where we went to school, and knew our names, and that wasn't public information. There was no internet back then. You
know? Well, maybe it's better now with fans thinking they're smart, you know, fans thinking they're smart, and so there's less of that, you know, they're buying into storylines, but maybe not to the point of taking any action. You know, I don't see stuff like we used to see fans, like in Puerto Rico, very dangerous where he worked prior to the Brody thing in 87. They'd throw lit M80s, they'd throw rocks. You know, it was super dangerous. I'm sorry?
My dad was stabbed.
Yeah.
He was stabbed? What happened there?
Major heat.
What was that?
They were wrestling in Peru, I believe it was, and he was stabbed going either into the ring or out of the ring.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was serious. And then what happened after that? Did he need surgery or did he go to the hospital?
I think they stitched up and he was fine.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
He knows the thing about the Blackjack Mulligan. I think it was 72, 73 in Boston, got nailed by, there was in every territory, there was somebody called a Hat Pin Mary, but this one was a massive knife, and it was like 187 stitches in his leg. It was pretty, you know, brutal and scary. So I kind of like it better now where fans aren't, except for the exception of Puerto Rico, they're still like that. They're, if you go down there, you see them throwing rocks and stuff at the ring and bottles, and we don't need that. So it's probably a lot safer.
I'm sorry, it was Guam. Guam. He was wrestling in Guam when he was stabbed.
Crazy.
I just remember that and wanted to correct myself. But
he probably had the windows of his... Yeah.
That's why he started wearing that leather jacket.
Yeah, smart. Piper, same thing with Piper. Because he'd gotten stabbed. And their rental cars or their own personal vehicles were often destroyed. Tires slashed, windows broken.
Kelly, our Peruvian listeners forgive you. Yeah.
What's
our Peruvian listeners, forgive
thank you.
I thought we had one 2 years ago that called in or something. We had a fan letter from somebody listening in Peru.
But and then I wanted to
ask. Machu Picchu is number one on my bucket list, and that
Well, you'll need that Spartan training to make it up to the yes. top there.
Wait, don't they? I've got to go soon, Kelly. But don't they take the Spartan training? Don't they like tour so you'd have a possibility to go to some exotic places doing it?
Oh yeah, they do it all over the world.
Oh. So we'll put in a word for you for Machu Picchu. But what I'd also like to before we hang up here, I want to ask you about your YouTube channel and the stuff that you do with your dad for the movie stuff and the video stuff. I think that's so clever. I love that stuff.
Thank you. Yes, Slaughter Daughter is my channel on YouTube. And it's basically just me and my dad talking about his life and our life and what it was like for both of us and getting his stories out there. And there's a couple of episodes about some of the races that I've done.
Yes, I've watched those. And I loved the Diet Coke commercial. One where he really broke down like his whole experience of doing the Diet Coke commercial. First of all, I'm a Diet Coke drinker. I had too much of it, just his whole thing. It was just kind of like encapsulated that whole era of what that like late 80s time was all about and how he got swept up in that kind of, you know. Otherwise, he hadn't really done a lot of other mainstream commercials. I think that's the only real mainstream commercial he's done. But it was fascinating to hear the story about
that. Well, he did the G.I. Joe, a lot of G.I. Joe work.
Yes, and then the G.I. Joe stuff. I was going to ask about that. How's that been going for you and him?
Oh, it's been going great. We went to Joe Fest together in Augusta, Georgia, and I had a blast. I'm not a collector, but to be able to walk around and see all the things, and it just brought me right back to my childhood. And it was awesome, and it was cool to see the crowd you know, my dad's line never stopped. Like, there was always somebody in line for him. And so to see the love for him, and he's got new action figures with them. So it was cool to see people bring in all these different action figures that I had never seen. There was a custom Lego figure of my dad. So
nice. I
have those now.
Now you know you've made it when you have a custom Lego figure made of.
Right, right.
Then you know you've made it in the American lexicon when Lego has bothered to make a figure of you. And that's really wonderful. I mean, if it wasn't for Zazzle Phoenix, we wouldn't be talking. So his obsession, and I joined his group from, you know, on Facebook, and that's how I got connected to you, was through the Sergeant Slaughter Slaughterhouse Facebook group. So I really appreciate him for that. So Mike has got a limited time budget with us here.
Well,
so
my wife's got with the Barbie movie out, she has one of the original figures when it first came out. She's a little older than me. She has it, she got two, one to play with, I guess she was wise enough, and one that she never opened. And who would think of doing that then? So I think those are worth like $49,000. I told her not to sell it. I have an original G.I. Joe when they first came out, when we first saw the commercials. I forget what year that was, 63, 64,
65? Why don't you guys sell it now? Why don't you sell it now? If it's worth $49,000, sell it now. What, are you saving it for college, for
banking? No, she just enjoys it. And she couldn't afford the clothing. You know, they sold the dolls cheaply, at least for Barbie. She said they were like $3 at that time. That's what they sold for in the stores. But the expensive stuff was all the girls, et cetera, wanted all the outfits. So my mother-in-law sewed them all. She was a master sewer, and she made all of these outfits so she didn't have to do that. I didn't have anything with the original G.I. Joe, the beard and the outfit. That was kind of it. So they were limited, whereas I think they were smarter with the marketing, with the toys aimed at women. It wouldn't be that way now. Females now, with the fluidity of the pronouns.
I had one of your dad's original Sergeant Slaughter toys from G.I. Joe, and my mom threw it out as soon as I went to college.
No.
Well, that's what happened. I don't know if they did that with females, but like our comic books, our baseball trading cards, our, you know, action figures. Luckily, my mom wasn't that way, but I heard enough friends that all that stuff would go. It would be thrown out. And like, I still have, I rescued it out of the trash can, the sixth issue of Superman, which is worth a couple of $1,000, you know, action. This is back like from the late 30s, early 40s. It's in storage. But did parents tend to do that with girls and younger women, throw out their stuff that might have been valuable?
I had a My Pet Monster. And that, I have no idea what happened to that. I had tons of Barbies. No idea what happened to any of them. All of my Couch Patch dolls.
It's worth a lot now.
Yeah.
Mainly because everybody got theirs thrown out. So that's why the collectability.
But then the problem is, the people with wealth, they'll go out and rebuy all the stuff that their parents threw out. There's a show on MeTV called Collector's Corner, and they've had like episodes devoted to G.I. Joe. They just had a Barbie one recently and all of that. And when that happens, I guess it's so traumatic, people go and spend thousands and thousands and thousands to get this stuff.
Your dad created plenty of collectible stuff. Does anyone ever come to him and ask for like a riding crop that he had, or his helmet, or his steel-toed boots? I mean, I'm sure that people want him to contribute those things to different causes.
Yeah, he has in the past, donated things like that to charities and things, but I think he's kind of running low. He only has so many.
Well, that was just part of that episode of WWE Lost Treasures where I think they got, what's that called, the hat?
Oh, it's the campaign cover?
Do you know where that name came from? Because that's kind of unusual for a... I don't know what you would call it. It's a military hat. It's a part of your uniform.
That's what they call it in the military.
Wow.
The campaign cover.
Wow. Just wear it during the campaigns. So do you, what's in your immediate future? What are you going to be doing next other than another Spartan race? What are your other plans?
Well, I want to get my personal trainer license or certification. I want to do 3 trifectas next year with Spartan.
Wow.
So just do more training there. So I'm a fitness instructor and I teach, a class at the gym, and it's a high intensity cardio class for the first half. And then after that, we go into like balance and upper body, lower body, glutes, like a full body weighted workout afterwards. And it's pretty intense. But there's other certifications through that fitness company that I want to get. So I'll be teaching other classes.
Do you think you might teach something like that online?
I don't know if they have that because it's through a specific company. So I think you can go on there and with their app, and it's called Les Mills, LESMILLS, Les Mills. It's a New Zealand company.
But maybe when you're your own fitness trainer, maybe you could offer some.
Well, yeah, on my own, I would love.
You could make money that way, particularly if it was COVID. You could definitely make money helping people get fit during the lockdown and all that stuff.
Yeah, I want to open a gym.
My
long-term goal.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Really hope that works out for you. And we want to thank you so much for being on the show this week.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you let our fans know how they can get a hold of you through social media?
Sure. On Facebook, you can find me at Slaughter Daughter. Instagram, Slaughter Daughter Official. On Twitter, it's _SGTDaughter. And YouTube is Slaughter Daughter.
It's great. You are so kind and you're so wonderful to spend your time with us. And it's hard to believe it's been a year since you've been on our show. Hopefully it won't be so long before we have you again. If you have anything big coming up, want to promote anything, or your dad wants to promote something, we're here for you. And we really appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
Hey, Kelly. Right. Thank you.
We'll see you again soon.
Have a good one.
Good night. Bye.